you have your Bible this morning, I would love for you to find, if you would, the 8th chapter of the book of Matthew. The 8th chapter of the book of Matthew. I will promise you this, you may want to go ahead and be prepared. We're going to turn rather quickly to about 4 or 5 passages in the book of Matthew. We'll go once to the book of Mark, and then we will go once to the book of Luke. But I want to preach to you today a message that I have been thinking about. God just put it on my heart and has been confirming it and has been building it. And I trust that it'll be a blessing to you. Maybe a little different style than what I normally preach. But I do believe that it is very important to our hearts. I've been captivated by an action of the Lord, captivated by one word. I find it in Matthew chapter 8, if you'll pick up in verse number 1 this morning. The Bible says, when he being the Lord Jesus, was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and, would you say those two words, please? Touched him. Somehow, I need you to circle that word or underline the word touched. For I have been touched this week with the word touched or the action of touching from the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. I don't know how much you know about the Bible and how much you know about the Gospels. And I'm not sure that you know how much about the Lord Jesus as he walked upon the face of the earth. You will find in the Bible, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, we run into the deadly disease and the separating disease of leprosy. If you are a Bible student and you really wanted to do a study and find out why leprosy is so mentioned in the Bible, I would encourage you to do that. This was a disease that manifested itself upon the skin. It would be a disease that would be a flesh-eating or a skin-eating disease. This would be a disease that literally would make your appendages and things would disappear. When you were found with leprosy, immediately your life changed. A couple of ways that immediately your life changed was that you were separated from all of the rest of the population. And they had things called lepers' colonies. I believe they still have some of that in our world today. Immediately, wife was separated from husband. Parents would be separated from children. Families would be separated. Neighbors would be removed. And there was a tremendous fear of this disease that it would spread like wildfire. And so when you come to the book of Matthew and you read about this event, really and truthfully, Matthew puts it in his gospel because of the shocking nature of what the Lord Jesus did. For nobody in their right mind would ever touch a leper. One of the consequences of that disease would be that those that had it would lack ever again the joy of human touch. I don't know if you know this or not, but touch is one of your 5 senses. The ability to touch something, to handle something, to feel it, to embrace it, to know it that way. And I know that there is good and evil ways of someone being touched. We will deal with the good ways this morning. But to know the embrace, to know the hug of your mother, to know the pat of your father, the shake of your dad, to know other human contact through touch is so important. All of our senses are vital to the satisfaction and the joys of our life. And if you remove one sense, other senses are heightened, but there's still the consequence or the missing of that one sense. I was thinking about the touch of the Lord Jesus upon the leper. I was thinking about how shocking it was to those that were in the multitude following him, but how splendorous it must have been and how wonderful it must have been for that leper to once again feel human contact. And what a joy to know, not only was it human contact, but it was also God's contact, for Jesus is the God-man, right? And the Lord Jesus went and he put his hands on that guy. And for the first time in a long time, man, he knew what it was to feel human touch. On Thursday, my phone beeped and it was Hetty's daughter, Brenda. And she said, "Mom is asking for you." And I had been there a couple of times already and I told her that I would come back. This time when I got there on Thursday, it was quite different than the previous times. The previous times we were at least able to communicate, even though it was soft. We were able to enjoy some of that. This time, the body was beginning to do what the body does at that moment in time. And I sat down, and she had one of the hospital beds, and she had, of course, the rails there, and her head was here, and I'm sitting right by her head, and I kissed her on her forehead, and I got right into her ear and began to talk to her. And as soon as I began to talk to her, she took her right arm, and she slammed it on that thing. And I knew what she wanted, and I grabbed her hand. And she was making a noise, and I couldn't really understand what the noise was. And her daughter said, "She's asking you to pray." Let me tell you something. In that moment, I'm glad we know how to pray. And I don't know if you've ever been in that moment, but the body goes through moments, man, where it'll be peaceful, and then all of a sudden it's not. She was in a little agitated stage there, and as soon as she had some human touch, kind of calmed her down, began to rub her arm, began to kind of be there. And just the security of human touch brought a wonderful peace to that moment. If you kind of understand or could see that, would you just say amen for me a minute? I left there thinking, okay, Lord, I'm preaching that message on Sunday, touched and changed. It's one thing for your pastor to hold your hand and touch you and comfort you. My friend, it's a whole nother thing when Jesus touches and comforts you. I have a certain type of Bible that I preach to you from. And it's called a Thompson Chain Study Bible. It's a great study Bible. If you're looking for a great study Bible, there's the Life Application Bible. There's also a Thompson Chain Study Bible. And what the chain is it will take truths or actions and it links them for me in my Bible. All these little things right here tells me where they go. I want you to walk the chain with me just a little bit and watch how the Lord Jesus touches people. Would you just go down to verse number 15 in chapter number 8? We just watched him touch the leper. Look, if you would, at verse number 14 in chapter number 8. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he, what class? Touched her. Underline it, circle it, chain it. You'll love this when you study the book of Matthew again. He touched her hand and the fever left her and she arose and ministered unto him. The chain takes me to the 9th chapter of the book of Matthew. Would you just turn one over? Would you look in Matthew chapter 9 and would you look at verse number 27? And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" They said unto him, "Yes, Lord." Then, say it, class, touched he their eyes, saying, "According to your faith be it unto you." And their eyes were opened. Oh, follow me if you would to the 17th chapter of the book of Matthew. I hope you're underlining that word touched. I hope you're making notes. Matthew chapter 17. Would you come down to, we'll just pick up here in verse 1 is they're on the Mount of Transfiguration. Verse number 5, they're hearing the voice of God saying, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." Pick up in verse number 6. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and they were sore afraid. And Jesus came and, say it, class. Now. I sound more excited than you do, so help me a little bit there, all right? And Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise and be not afraid." Make your way to the 20th chapter of the book of Matthew, if you would, in our chain. Matthew chapter 20, when you come to verse number 29. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. Again, two blind men sitting by the wayside when they heard. It's interesting, when one sense goes down, the others are heightened. These are blind men, but they sure can hear Jesus coming. And when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, now Son of David." And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more saying, "Have mercy on us, Lord, thou Son of David." And Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I should do unto you?" They said unto him, "Lord, open up our eyes." I love verse 34. So Jesus had compassion on them and what, class? Touched them. I hope you're circling it. And immediately their eyes received sight. Go to the book of Mark. Mark's the very next book. Go to chapter number 7. I think you're getting the point, but I just love reading these stories. Mark chapter 7. Look, if you would, verse number 31. This one's a little bit weird, but Jesus did it, so just try to get past that. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Zidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude. He put his fingers into his ears. He spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, "Ephpha," that is, "be opened." And straightway his ears were opened and the string of his tongue was loosed and he spake plain. Wow. Go to the book of Luke one more. Luke chapter 7. I often wonder where the Lord spit when I read that passage. Verse number 11. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain. And many of his disciples went with him and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out. The only son of his mother. Oh, in the Jewish economy, that is a fantastic statement. I don't have time to develop it. She was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had, would you just say that word? Compassion. I just got to stop here because that's twice now that we've come to that word. Are you not glad that our Lord is compassionate? And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and he said unto her, "Weep not." And he came, and he did what, class? He touched the bier, or the coffin, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, "Young men, I say unto thee, arise." And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. Are you kidding me? And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all. And they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor, you didn't know rumors were in the Bible. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. My friends, today, I think after looking at these passages, I would say that we ought to be able to give a good hearty amen to the fact that there is power in the touch of Jesus Christ. Pastor, I understand looking in the Bible, but Jesus is not on the earth today. How is this relevant for us today? Well, my friend, let me tell you something. Just because Jesus is not walking physically upon the earth, Jesus is very active upon the earth, and Jesus is still touching people today. Those of us that have been touched by the Lord, we know that there is something different now. Amazes me how God confirms messages to me. I had the wonderful privilege to sit and talk with a new believer this week. And she hasn't been saved very long. And I always ask new believers after they've given their heart to the Lord and the Lord Jesus has saved them. I'll ask them, do you reckon God's presence in you? And she said, you know, Pastor, I think I do. I said, well, tell me how you reckon God's presence in you. And she said, well, I find myself thinking about Christian things. That's pretty good evidence. And then she said, and I find that when I do things that I used to do, I'm not happy anymore. That's pretty good evidence. And then she kept giving me another one. And then she said, but Pastor, be honest with you, I'm still learning the rules. I said, learning the rules? She said, yeah, I come to church and you preach all these things. And she says, I'm still learning the rules. And I said, listen, Christianity is not about you learning the rules. Christianity is about you learning the ruler, the Lord Jesus. But she said, you know what? I'm different now. I'm different now. And I thought I would take this morning and I would just quickly rejoice with those of us that know this. And looking at these folks, just rejoice in the fact that we have been touched by the Lord. And as each one of these folks were touched by the Lord, they were changed. Matter of fact, church family, anything that God touches, he changes. And I was looking at the chain in my Bible, and I was looking at these folks, and I found within the chain, I kind of saw a pattern that encourages me. And I just wanted to encourage with you today, and here's what I want to do. While I'm encouraging the believer, I want to create envy in the non-believer. If you're here and you know the Lord Jesus, I want to just encourage you in the fact that you've been touched and you've been changed. If you do not know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, I'm asking the Spirit of God to create within you an envy of what we have, or a desire for you to know the touch of the Lord in your heart, in your mind, and in your life, and for the Lord Jesus to change you. Pastor, I'm not sure as I sit here that I want to be changed or that I need to be changed. Oh, my friend, let me tell you something. When you understand the change that Jesus does in our life, it will create a thirst in you. And so I was looking at the first one that he talked about. And I'll just go through here, church family. And when I hit yours, I trust that you'll just be blessed. The first touching was of the leper. And really and truthfully, when you study leprosy, you understand in the Bible that it is a picture of sin. It's always a picture of sin in our life. It was a disease that was within, but it manifests itself on the outward. And when you study leprosy as a physical disease in the Bible, the spiritual application of that is sin. And it's wonderful how that the Lord Jesus is the only one that was able to deal with leprosy. There was no cure for leprosy, but the Lord Jesus put his hand on the leper, and the Bible says that he was immediately made clean. My friends, there was no cure for my sin. There was no human cure for me being a sinner until the Lord Jesus spread his hands on the cross, paid for my sin, and then as I came to him by faith, he put his hands upon my sin, and the cure for my sin is the blessed Lord Jesus. A spiritual cleansing. What a joy it is to be touched by the Lord in my sin. What a joy it is to know that my sin has been forgiven. What a joy to know that my sin has been cleansed. What a joy to know that I will never have to stand an account for my sin. What a joy to know the release of the bondage of my sin. Understand, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore, if all men and women have come short of the glory of God through sin, then all men and women need God to touch them in the area of their sin. If you've been touched there, would you say amen? What does it mean to be touched, Pastor? It means to be forgiven. It means that you've come to the Lord Jesus and you've acknowledged yourself a sinner. You understand that. You see that in your life. And you see how your sin relates to God. And if you're honest with yourself, you know your thoughts, you know your heart, you understand. If you compare yourself to other people, you may measure up pretty good. But when you compare yourself to the Lord Jesus, nobody measures up. That's why when we sung that hymn, "My Jesus, I love thee. I love you for first loving me." What does that mean? That means that when I was a sinner, God commendeth his love toward me, and that while I was a sinner, Christ died for me. That means that God loved me when I was at enmity with him. God loves me in my sinful condition. He doesn't want me to stay in my sinful condition. That's why he sent the Lord Jesus. But the love of God is amazing. Oh, what a joy it is to be touched as a sinner and to be transformed into a saint. I want to create envy today if you do not know the Lord. I want to create envy today if you feel in bondage to your sin. I want to create envy today if you're wounded within that and you know that position. I want to create envy in the fact that if you will come to the Lord Jesus as a sinner, he will forgive and redeem you and send you back as a saint. No greater thing than to be saved. I was walking through the touch. He touched the blind. He touched them in their eyes. He opened their eyes. Christian, I don't know about you, but I'm glad the Lord Jesus has opened my eyes. You know, Christians see differently than others. Pastor, why do you got glasses on then? Because without them, I can't see you. Sometimes I thought maybe I should preach without my glasses. Then I won't know, see the people. I'm doing this number. We're doing this number. Hey, I like you. This number, you know. Some of you are amazing. When you yawn, your face disappears. I do not know how you do that, but it's amazing how that happens. It's just gone. I'm like, where'd their face go? Oh, yeah, there they are. Aren't you glad that since Jesus touched you that you can see things spiritually? You know, outside of Christianity, outside of those known to the Lord, our neighbors, our friends, All they can see is kind of what they can see and what they know. They're blind to spiritual truths. It's not that they're the anti-spiritual truths, but until the Lord Jesus opens up your eyes and lets you see the reality of salvation, then he lets you see by faith, lets you see him in the word, let you see him moving in your life. I'm so glad that when the Lord touched me, he opened up my eyes and I get the wonderful privilege to see and to walk by faith. If you have what you believe to be biblical spiritual sight and you're thankful to God for it, would you say amen? Oh, I want that to create an envy in those that don't. He opened up the deaf's ears. These, as he opened up their ears, they were able to give God glory and to give praise, and they were able to hear certain things. I'm glad that God has touched my ears. I got a little example here, a little illustration, and just let me tell my little illustration, okay? I don't often tell people when I first meet them that I'm a pastor. Why? Most of the time when I shake somebody's hand, I'm just Tom, especially if it's outside of this building. Because as soon as I tell them I'm a pastor, things get weird, not on my part, but on their part, all right? I'll never forget, I did a ride-along with the sheriff's department. Forgive me, all you sheriffs that are in here, okay, or deputies. And I won't tell you who I did the ride-along with, but they took me into the jail cell as a visitor. And I'm just Tom, right? I'm just Tom. So I'm with the guy that I know, and I'm inside with all of these deputies. And let's just say that they talk a little different inside there, okay? Oh, my goodness gracious. I mean, I heard things that I didn't. And so I'm just standing there, and I kind of make eye contact with the guy there, and he's just got this big smile on his face. And so the head honcho, I don't know what they call him. I know what they were calling him, but you wouldn't call that to his face. He walked in, and he joined the party. And then he asked this guy, tell us about your friend. And so this guy said, this is my pastor. The guy went, holy, and then he just walked in. I'm like, okay, here we go. So things get real weird. They get real weird. I do a little bit of fishing. And fishermen are just as bad as cops, man, I'll tell you. And I'm with Joey Callahan. Matter of fact, we fish a little bit. And if you know Joey before he got saved, Joey will tell you about his life too. And it amazes me how in somebody's mind, four-letter words make them feel like giants. So I have grown men, professional men, and they're standing in these circles, and it's who can out-curse the other one, and who can use more F-words or more this or more this. And just let me tell my illustration now. And I'm standing over here, and I'm thinking, you guys sound like idiots. And the more they try to heighten themselves, the more they sound ridiculous. Have you ever had this experience? And so Joey, who used to be in this circle, forgive me, Joey, for that, he looked at me and I looked at him and he said, you know what? I sure was an idiot back then. And I remember standing there thinking, we were standing there together and we're like, we just kind of paused and we just said, thank you, Lord Jesus, for touching us and for making us different. And when the Lord Jesus touches you, he opens up your sight so you can see the wonderful love of God. But he also opens up your ears. And as he opens up your ears, you're able to hear yourself give glory to God. You're able to hear others give glory to God. And your ears become so sensitive to those things that he has redeemed you for. And it's kind of like he just takes this big Q-tip and works out my whole ear. And now I can hear the voice of God. Amen. Wow. Amen. Touched their eyes. He touched their ears. I found that he touched that woman, Peter's mother-in-law, who had a fever. He touched her in her physical health. By the way, if you need God to touch you in your physical health, you ought to study that passage of Matthew chapter 8. And you ought to look at verse number 15. And the Bible says that the Lord Jesus touched Peter's mother-in-law. By the way, men, you ought to pray for your mother-in-law. Okay, we'll move over that. And the Bible said that when he touched her, and her fever was gone, and she began to serve the Lord. One of the reasons that God will touch you in your physical health is so that you can serve the Lord. When I pray for people that need to be touched, a lady, her foot was broken. It wasn't working right. It was horrendously hurting her, and she couldn't even work anymore. And she said, Pastor, what do I do? I said, Come, let me put oil on that thing and let me pray for you. And so she came into the office and I got some olive oil based off of the book of James. And I took that olive oil and I rubbed that oil on her foot and got on my knees and I began to pray. And I said, now, God, I need you to touch this foot and help her. And man, she called me the next couple of days. She said, Pastor, you're not going to believe it, but God has touched my foot. Tom didn't do that. God did that. But in my prayer, I pray, God, she needs feet to stand on so she can serve you. Right. And God began to touch. Your motive for why you need the Lord to touch you physically is very important to how or why the Lord will touch you. And so in the Bible, the Lord Jesus comes in and touches that lady in her physical health, and then she's nourished up to serve the Lord. I don't know about you, but if you're in this room and God has touched you in your physical health throughout your life, when you want to give him glory, would you say amen to that? Powerful. I go further on, and he touched them in their fear and encouraged them. You go to the book of Luke, and he touched that coffin, and life came into that. My friends, I'll close here, and I'm going to be done early today. There is power in the touch of Jesus Christ. And I want you to know something. He's still touching people today. All of the folks in the chain had three things in common. Write them down. Number one, they needed a change. They needed a change. Not only did they just need a change, they needed a miraculous change. Many times people come to church, and one of the reasons they come to church is because they know in their mind and in their heart that they need a change in their life. And usually, by the time they get here, they've tried every other change that they know. They've tried programs, they've tried friends, they've tried their own human effort, they've tried to manipulate whatever they could, and yet there's still this empty hole, or yet there's this unsatisfaction. And finally they think, well, let me go try some church. And poor souls that do that, because churches are so vastly different. Who knows what they're going to get to when they come into a church. That's why when you come into this church, we want to give you this book. Amen. And so as they come in and they're looking for a change in their life, a miraculous change, all of these folks needed something to be done that could only be done by God. They came as they were, blind, deaf, sick, even laying dead in a coffin, leprous, in they needed that part of life that only God can do. That's what the gospel of the Lord Jesus does for you. That's what Jesus does for you. There's a part in my life, that sinful part as my nature, that needed to be changed. It needed to be made different. And only God can do that. That's why every man and every woman needs to open their heart to receive the Lord. That's why every man and every woman needs to be born again. That's why the devil fights you so hard. You know, I was thinking, you ever been in a place where you don't care how it gets fixed as long as it can be fixed? I've had two root canals in my life. If you've ever had a root canal, could you raise your hand? If you've never had a root canal, you ought to lift both your hands and give God glory. Okay? Both of my root canals went bad. Horribly bad. And infection developed in one on this part of my face and one on this part of my face. And the infection, I don't know if you know anything about, and sorry to gross you out, but you haven't eaten yet. You're going to eat after this service. Infection in your mouth blows up quick. I mean quick. You have something wrong in your mouth, go to the doctor. Don't wait. It blows up fast. Well, as the infection was going up, it was eating my bone. So I went to the doctor, and the doctor did an x-ray, and he said, you're going to need surgery twice. Twice they've had to go in there and cut it and fix it and do it. It's horrible. I remember the first time sitting in there, and I knew I was hurting. I mean, hurting really bad. And I looked at the doctor when he was done, and I asked him one question. Can you fix it? He said, yeah, it's going to take surgery. And I remember looking at the doctor and saying, I don't care what it takes. If you can fix it, do it. Right. If you've ever been there, you know what that's about. The world, the devil, and your own mind kind of fight you when it comes to knowing the Lord. But listen, you have a problem that every person has, and that's the sin problem. And my friend, there's only one person who can fix it, and that's the Lord Jesus, and you better let him fix it. They had a change that only God could do. Second thing they had in common, they were changed. God did the work. They were made different. God did a work in them, and God did a work through them. They were changed on the inside as well as it was manifested on the outside. They needed a change, and God changed them. This is a little bit private. I'll try to do it kind of carefully. But if we knew you before you met Jesus, what would we think about you? Right? How many say, Pastor, I'm glad you never knew me before Jesus? All right. Where's Beverly's hand? The change that the Lord makes when he touches you, the change that he does in our lives, cleans us up, heals us emotionally, spiritually, all of those things. He does a work on the inside so that we can know the joy of that on the outside. Pastor, can God really help me? Let me tell you something. Only God can help you. Pastor, would God be willing to help me? In that he said, Lord, if thou wilt. God said, I'm willing. I'm willing. Pastor, I'm pretty broken. That's okay. Doesn't care how many pieces, God can put you back together. Pastor, I've tried a lot of things to change, and I just find that I can't change. Yeah, right, you can't. But God can change you. Pastor, if God changes me, is it sustainable? I don't ever read where the blind went blind again. I don't ever read where the deaf went deaf again. I understand that that boy must have died again, but that's different than how that works. What does that mean? That means this. If you will allow the Lord Jesus to change your heart and your life and to bring that to you, you will find it's the greatest change you could ever have. The third thing that all of them did is they went home rejoicing. And when you study each individual, they were made whole. A peace was brought to their life. They needed a change. They were changed. And then they knew peace. I'm thinking about Hetty laying there. For a few moments, she settled right down. When God touched me, he put his wonderful settling hand on my life. Pastor, has your life been easy? Has your life been easy? No life is easy. But the touch of God is wonderful. Amen. Touched and changed. I want to say one final thing. Never in the whole chain did the Lord Jesus touch somebody and they weren't changed. What do you mean by that? I mean this. If you say you have received the Lord, then your life has been made different. If you say you've been touched by the Lord and there's no change into your life, then you haven't been touched by the Lord. Never did he ever touch somebody and they weren't changed. If you're looking for peace today and you're looking to be made whole, you ought to give your heart and life to Christ. Those of us that have done that, we know his wonderful touch. Oh, he touched me. He touched me. I think we're ready to sing that. Shall we pray?